I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm okay. I am frazzled as always in the morning, Elizabeth. I don't know why. I always get so frazzled in the morning. I don't know if it's just not, I think it must, I'm gonna stick with my it's not enough coffee. But good morning to you and good morning to Atlanta.
Good morning,
To everyone.
to everyone, and thanks for tuning in
Yeah.
because we've got a great show planned for you guys today.
We do. And it's Wednesday, as always. We're only here on Wednesdays for this morning show. So it's always
Right.
Wednesday, but it's also May 9th. Can you believe it?
No.
Time is flying by. I took a week off and it feels like I took 3 months off. I'm like having to rediscover the studio. Who are you again?
Right. Vacation is amazingly refreshing and amnesic like that. You come back and
Yeah.
you know not of the person you were before.
Right, but for the listeners, I am Dana Barrett, one of your co-hosts, and of course, talking with me this morning is my delightful co-host Elizabeth Gordon. So we're here today to kind of, bring you all the latest in Atlanta business and just check in, see what's going on. The weather's been kind of up and down,
Yes,
a little
well, it
crazy.
was pretty warm the weekend, and now the rain has sort of come
Cooled it
in,
off.
so
Yeah, it's like I thought we were skipping spring altogether, but now it feels like it's a little bit back.
right,
Yeah.
we almost like skipped ahead, went to summer. Now we took a couple steps backwards,
Right. It makes
back in
dressing very
spring.
difficult.
Extremely.
We need to bring in like some retail experts because, I always am fascinated by the way retail, and they've been doing this forever, but how they bring out the spring line, when it's still winter, and then by
Right.
this time it's already all on sale. And then they bring out the summer
Exactly.
stuff before you can even think about putting on a bathing suit. You know what I mean?
Right. And right when you're thinking, oh, I should get some summer clothes, they get the fall stuff out.
Right. And it's frustrating because you still might have, depending on your lifestyle, an event to go to, a
Right.
beach
A
vacation.
fashion need that takes place in another season than the one in which you are currently living.
Well, or the reverse, one that is current. I need something for tomorrow. And the only thing I can find is 2 seasons ahead. You're like, come
Right.
on, really? I don't need a turtleneck sweater right now. I need a summer dress. Hello. So I'd love to actually get some retail people in here to talk about why they do that and what the logic is.
Right, because it seems like an alternate argument could be made that you'd make more money by carrying the current season's clothes rather than previewing the next.
Right. I mean, maybe introducing a few things to get people excited about it and having a few things
Right.
available, but not sort of having almost nothing left.
Well, and that's the thing is that our seasons tend to change and go sort of back and forth very erratically.
Yeah.
So you might think you're in summer, but one day it will feel
Right.
like a fall day
Right. So you still
all
need a
of a
sweater
sudden.
or a rain jacket or it is a very interesting. Also, of course, it's very different, I'm sure, geographically, because even though, the gap or whatever is all across the country, certainly there's different needs in South Florida than there are in Seattle.
Right. And while it's, full gear into hot weather here in other parts of the country, they might be just warming up at this point.
Yeah.
The
So
snow is like still melting somewhere in the north.
I know. And then that always gets me to travel, clothing for travel too, because you're trying to figure out where. I mean, it's so much easier now with the internet and everything because now you can just look up the temperatures where you're going.
Right.
But still, you're
Rather
like,
than
okay, it's summer
It's
here.
still difficult to conceptualize if
Right.
you're like in 80 degree weather. You're like, what is 60 again? What does that feel
Yeah.
like? Would I be cold in this in 60?
It's so
It's
true. It's funny how that is. It's weird. We're very strange creatures. And some things I think maybe evolution will help us out in another, couple hundred or thousand years we'll have that all down, but
perhaps that will then be part of our superpowers
to just be
at that
prepared for any
point.
temperature. Oh, we'll grow
Right.
like fur suits or something. Okay, why did I just go there? I have no idea.
That sounds more like reverse evolution,
Good point.
actually.
That's true. All right, never mind that. I take that back. But so rather than talk about travel, let's talk about home for a minute because I was perusing the headlines. The Atlanta business headlines this week. And I live in Midtown, and I notice there's, well, I can't help but notice as I'm driving around, there's some construction going on. But now there's another big apartment, well, mixed use, I think, complex being planned in Midtown. So,
Oh, nice. That's an encouraging
I
sign.
know there's two going on right now. It's Nowair, the company that is planning this new Midtown tower. So basically, the deal is that they're an Atlanta-based developer. Again, it's Nowair Group, and they're proposing a 23-story mixed-use tower with up to 320 new apartment units in Midtown. And the project, which is known as 106th Street. I can't say that. 6th Street.
Yeah, that doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't. Well, it's kind of right near the intersection of Juniper. And it's, if you're familiar with that area, listeners and Elizabeth, it's next door to Viewpoint, which is another tower that was also developed by Nobert. And that's basically right across the street from me. So I walk past there all the time and know
exactly
where it is.
Right, that whole corner is now going to be saturated with urban housing.
Basically. Yeah, well, I know. So I was thinking about that. But anyway, for those of you trying to envision the area.
That's a good thing, I think.
Oh, yeah. If you're trying to figure out where I'm talking about, I don't know if you remember this, but it used to be Loca Luna used to be right there. And McRae's 6th Street Tavern. I cannot say 6th Street. But the property, if you walked by
the
there.
The Armory Bar.
Yeah. And it's been vacant.
For a while.
Yeah. And it's kind of creepy looking. And so, you know. I think it's kind of been...
As many vacant buildings are.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy looking.
I think it's been...
Which is why we love redevelopment.
That's right. We do. Repurposing I like better, but if we can't do that, new development is always good.
Just knock that
knock
down.
It down. Let's go. So, but it's been, you know, I think it's been a little bit of a blight of on that area. And so, anyway, the plans for this new building are going to be discussed, I think, today. At a Midtown Development Review Committee meeting. Now, when I was saying there's a couple of things going on, the other one is already in progress, and that's the Sky House High Rise, which is already being built by Nobert Group.
Okay.
Along with Batts and Cook
now,
Development.
Now, where is that one?
That's at 12th. So if you're driving up, it's 12th and West Peachtree. So if you're driving up West Peachtree to get on the highway, you're passing it every time right there at 12th. I believe it's on the left side. I saw something kind of going up. I didn't know what it was. Now I do. But yeah, as you mentioned, the...
So that's kind of like even bridging like North Midtown
right.
and Mid-Midtown.
I love how we make those distinctions here.
Right.
But it's true because everything, that's one of the things that I think is a little bit of a downside about Atlanta is that there are like little pockets of goodness.
It's very sectioned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then there'll be a couple blocks where you're walking and there's nothing.
Right.
And then there's another few blocks of goodness.
Exactly. Well, especially along Peachtree Street, I think you see that. And as we envision the future for the city, filling in those pockets and making Peachtree a continuous, you know, street of action and happening or housing or shopping or
right.
restaurants or whatever it is, but having something
right.
fill in all those gaps, I think is a huge part of like the urban vitality.
I agree. Totally. I mean, it would be really nice to be able to, for example, get off the MARTA at, let's say, Art Center. At, you know, up at like 17th or that's about right around maybe 16th,
right.
17th, something like that,
right.
you know, do the museum, start walking down. And there is stuff, you know, through about 14th, you know, and then there's
yeah.
a little break.
Exactly.
And then there's nothing again till about, you know, 8th, 9th, 10th, right,
right
in there.
So a building at 12th would be
starting to
fill that in.
Right. And also just more residential in the area, which is going to bring hopefully more retail, more restaurants, more conveniency type things like, you know, right now there is a Publix close and there's a CVS, but even more of that.
Right. Well, they're saying that the Generation Y is now really starting to drive the real estate or the residential real estate market because Gen Y wants to live in that type of mixed use retail
That's cool.
community.
Yeah.
And now they're at the point when
they're looking for a place
developers
to live.
Actually have to start paying attention. It's so funny because Gen Y has so many of these characteristics that I think kind of like rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like they're all like, about themselves. They don't really like to work too hard. I mean, obviously these get exaggerated.
Of course.
But, you know, they're okay with living at home until age 30 and feel no guilt
right.
over the burden they continue to put on their parents.
Right.
By, you know, not having a good job. So all of those characteristics that people say, and I actually had a guest on last week who was saying you just shouldn't even hire them because they're not going to be a good employee.
Oh, that's terrible.
But
that's such
I
a catch 22.
I went to an HR seminar about hiring people because as you know, owners of growing businesses, we need to continue to look at the pool of employees.
Absolutely.
And you really don't have a choice. You can't like it's a funny.
You can't not hire. Well, also, that's a ridiculous thing because if you don't hire them, where do you think they're going to keep living? At home with their parents. Like, you know, when you
right.
when
so
you mention
society needs to embrace these folks and start catering to their needs because they're a large generation and they're going to drive consumer behavior patterns for the next 50 years.
That's right. And the thing is, you know, when you mention them, you know, being okay with living home and feeling no guilt about it, you know, I mean, it's not their fault. I mean, listen, you know, first of all,
that there's no jobs
out
there.
It's not their fault that there's no jobs out there. And frankly, at some level, it's not their fault that their parents are enabling them to come home. You know what I mean? And it's great that the parents have enough wherewithal and means to allow them to come home. But at the same time, don't blame the kids for that.
It's certainly their choice and within their ability to
And listen,
provide.
My daughter is, I guess she's, what is Gen Y technically? What age group is that? Is that 20s?
It's like, I think, yeah.
Currently
right
in their
now, 20s? Right. I think you were born like after 1977 or something. So that would make you.
So 30s.
Because I believe I'm right on the cusp.
Yeah, I'm way out of that. I'm so not that. But okay. So I guess I have some sisters in that generation, much younger sisters. And then my daughter probably, is there a, because she's 19, you know, she'll be 20 this summer. She's probably a little, she's probably a new, another.
After that?
I don't know, but those kids are going to be in the same boat or worse, you know? So
things are changing.
Well, let's hope for the better.
But yeah, I think in some regard, it will be a good thing because a lot of that urban housing, you know, that construction is driven by demand.
Sure.
And if people are going to start demanding more mixed use residential communities that you can walk to everything because they're more into being green and being sustainable and not into huge suburban
sprawl
mini mansion.
Right.
You'll see our communities and the way they look and the way they get built out start to change.
Yeah. You know what else I think is sort of interesting about it is that it's not condo buildings, by the way, it's apartment buildings. Because the condo market just cannot sustain anymore.
It's really full here.
Right. I mean, people can't sell the ones they have. And so they're, you know, they're stuck with them and they're renting them out anyway, turning them into apartments.
Right.
And so, you know, they're just now they're not even going there. They're building apartments. Though I will say this. I am somebody who actually rents a condo from an individual owner.
Right.
And one of the reasons that I chose to do that, and maybe it's an age thing for me, is because the building seemed a little more grown up than an apartment complex.
Oh, definitely. Big difference.
And also the quality of what's in the unit. You know, a lot of it was replaced by the owner that rents to me. But you know, the quality of what's in there, of the kitchen appliances, of the kitchen itself, you know, the cabinetry, all of it is higher than I think what is typically put into apartments.
Certainly.
So that's
completely
the only.
Agree. Yeah. It is better.
Right. I know. But so that's.
They are better. See, I am someone who owns a condominium who actually has several of our owners trying to rent out.
Right.
And we're actually having a difficult time with it because the owners, as owners, you really don't want a lot of those condos to get rented or to be rental units.
No, of course.
It sort of downgrades.
Right.
Not to say that people that rent aren't. Good people.
Right.
But just in general, the more you have owners in the building, it tends to lead to better long-term upkeep.
Right.
And decisions being made about investing in the future of the building as opposed to just keeping costs low.
Right. Right. I mean, it's all.
So it's a difficult
I know.
Time for real estate.
It is.
And a lot of people are now finding themselves driven by the decisions they make in other areas of their life, such as their work or their relationships, based on real estate.
Oh,
and
I know.
Their where they ended up landing, you know, kind of on the chessboard when the real estate market
right, you get stuck
tanked
there.
And you're like, okay, well, this is my position, so how am I going to play this?
Right.
And it does affect other areas of your life.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting.
How mobile you are.
Right. And you know, I think it's interesting because in other cities, now I can't swear to this because I am not a real estate expert. We need to bring in one of our previous guests and talk real estate. But, you know, I think in cities like New York, they don't seem to worry as much about that. Like own rent, like if you own it and you're renting it out, like it doesn't devalue the property because everybody's renting in New York. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's not a stigma on a renter. Like right now, there's literally a stigma on renters in these condo buildings. Like that, you know, I pretend I'm not one when I'm walking around. People don't know. I don't admit it. But
wait, you like prune some bushes out front or something.
Yeah, I pick up
like,
the trash.
Do something,
you know.
In that.
I act like
clearly,
I know it all.
This is...
Clearly, I live here and I'm very concerned with. No, but you know, there is like you hear residents who know each other, who know that their owner is sort of poo-pooing.
Right.
The renters. In fact, we had a
oh,
guest.
The renters were up late last night.
Right.
The renters threw a party. The right. renters. Right.
Are disrespecting the hallways or disrespecting the rules. You know, like who was the guest we had in the other day from the downtown, one of the downtown neighborhood associations? Anyway, she was the same thing. She owns a condo.
Oh,
and she
right.
was literally saying exactly what I'm saying, sort of talking down about the renters. But, you know, again, in New York, I feel like because of the kind of city it is, no one thinks about that.
Right. Well, most people have to rent because it's so
outrageous
darn expensive
to buy.
That so the bar on, you know.
Correct.
It's like you're renting because you can't afford a $2 million
right.
one-bedroom apartment.
Right. Well, maybe things will sort of change here in that respect just because the rental market is like a lot of people who are successful, responsible, you know, mature professionals are choosing to rent because of the market.
Right. Well, after this real estate market, I think I'm going to be choosing to rent a lot more because I don't like this feeling of
being stuck.
I mean, not that I don't absolutely love where I live, but
right.
It's nice to feel like you've got options. I always, you know, liberty, options, choice.
Yeah. You know, I sold my house about 2 years ago. And I got really, really lucky. I think we've talked about this. And I have another current story to bring up about real estate here in a second. But I got really lucky because I sold it really quickly, even though the economy and the market was really down. But I was sort of mentally prepared for the house to sit on the market for a year. But that was a terrible feeling. It was like, I'm ready to move on with my life. And I'm going to have to sit here and wait for a year.
Right. And dust every day.
I know, right? And mow the lawn and crap like that. No, but you know, there are, you're exactly right with what you're saying. I mean, there are relationships that have ended and people can't separate because they can't sell their freaking property. You know, there are people that are married and own two properties. And they don't know what to do with one of them. I mean, there's all kinds of things like that going on for
right.
people. Yeah.
Well, so that's why we lead with business first here, because really the economic environment has enormous ripple effects to all of the other areas of your life. And so it's important to be informed about business.
No, I agree. And I think that's a huge part of what we're doing on this show, which is not just reading you the headlines, but talking about how we feel about them and how they affect us. Because that's what really matters at the end of the day. If someone's just spitting news stories at you, who cares, right? Like the market's up, the market's down, whatever. But what does it mean to you?
Exactly.
And if it means I can't move in with my boyfriend or I can't get rid of my ex-husband,
then
it's important.
Really important.
Yeah.
Like that.
Come on. So speaking of things I love and real estate, that thing that I love would be shopping. I've turned into a little bit of a shopping addict.
Oh, yes. Are you going to talk about the outlet
stores? I am going to talk about the outlet stores. So, and of course, that's a little bit further out. We're not talking about downtown because they never put outlets in downtown.
Of course not.
Which kind of sad. But
well, they kind of could.
I wish they would.
The, you know, like south of where we are.
Yeah.
South of Forsyth Cove.
That would be good. I mean, because
people
who live in town
in
like
area,
discounts,
right
too.
Right around underground.
That would be a good thing. Maybe we can talk someone into that. Well, meanwhile, there is...
We do get some pretty well-to-do investors to come into the studio.
That's
so
right.
So we'll have to keep a
we, like,
list
plant
of our
the seed.
Proposals.
That's right. We can put them up on the wall. And we can act like we're doing it and just not say
right.
anything about it.
This
like
is
on
a project we're working on.
Like on a whiteboard. And then they go, oh, wait, what do you... Oh, I want a part of that. I think
right.
that's what we should do. Though if anyone's listening, they just heard our evil plan. So, but anyway, yeah. So ground has been broken on a new outlet mall in Woodstock, Georgia, which isn't too far.
No,
they're getting closer.
5 minutes.
Yeah, they're getting closer. I feel like they're because you right,
right
now they're.
I actually know where that is, and right now they're in places that. You know, when people say these towns to me, I'm like, I don't know where that
right.
is.
Right. I know.
It's
I have friends that
away.
Live in Woodstock. It's
right.
it's a suburb.
Yes,
it's a close
exactly.
in suburb of Atlanta at this stage of our development as a city. I mean, it used to be a far out suburb, but now
right.
it's not. And so, you know, because right now the ones
that's
I know
a perfect
of,
community to put it in.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see exactly where it ends up and all of that or where the location
right.
is. But the,
there's so much space out there in the summer.
That's true.
Land, fields,
right.
empty
grass.
Lots.
It's kind of amazing. What's well, so, but right now the two big outlet malls that I know of around here, one is sort of way up, is it 400 I think or 85? I can't remember. And the other one's way down, 75.
Right.
And so if you're going to go, you almost have to like plan to spend the day. Like we're going to drive up for the day.
Exactly.
We'll eat up there or down there. We'll make a day of it or we'll do it on our way to Asheville or on our way to Florida or whatever.
Right.
But now having it in Woodstock,
you
that's
can do that
an errand.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
Right.
I can run up there for an hour or two, do some shopping and come home. Like no biggie, you know? So that's kind of cool. And
nice.
And here's the deal. It's actually going to be a relatively quick process because, you know, sometimes those things go for years and years.
Right.
The building.
That was my next question. How soon?
According to this, so I guess ground was just broken. But according to this, they'll be finished by the end of next summer, 2013. August 2013 is what they're looking for.
That's pretty cool.
It's not bad. So you'll be able to kind of be driving by it over the course of the year and sort of watching the development come together. Now, I say that now. We're going to have to check back in about 6 months because, you know, a lot of times construction projects do get delayed. However, right now the goal is August of 2013. And some of the stores are, you know, kind of the typical
outlet stores.
Nike, the off Fifth Avenue, the Saks Fifth Avenue outlet right. store, Brooks Brothers, the White House Black Market, Guess, Michael Kors.
And Taylor Loft.
Yeah, probably Talbot's, I think. There's, you know, some home-related stores, too, you know, kitchen things and whatever. So the usual stuff, I think. But I think the close-in location will be really interesting to see how that does.
Yeah, I think that is a very exciting thing to look forward to.
I mean, I know retail's down, too.
Shopping.
Yeah. Retail's, I'm sure everything's down and has been for a while. But I think, you know, if anything kind of hangs around, it's the discount versions.
Exactly.
Because people still need stuff. Everybody does like a sale. We're suckers for
and
a sale.
And good stuff on sale.
Yeah, I'd love to, you know, I know today I'm all about who we should get in here, but I'd love to talk to some people about the philosophy, the psychology behind sales and sale tactics, because there are a few companies, I don't know if you experience this, I'm sure you do, based on whatever email lists you're on, but there are a few retail companies whose email lists I'm on that I literally get a coupon or a discount offer almost every day. Maybe not every day, but like two or three times a week. There's some new 20% off, 10% off, 15% off. And it's
too much.
I agree. And it trains you
to always expect things to be on sale.
To wait for a coupon. Like you're sort of not going to want to buy anything if you don't have.
Right.
And if you know that sometimes there's a 40% off, then you're going to wait.
Right. You plan your buying patterns around their discounting strategy rather than your own impulsive whims.
Right.
Which is really for the company.
Right.
They're not able to maximize the profitability of you as a customer because you've figured out their game and you're going to play it.
You're right. Although at the same time, because they are sending such frequent emails, I'm sure they piss some people off with that and they opt out.
Well, that's what I was going to say when you were talking about how many emails you get. I was like, oh, I don't get that many emails from anybody because at that point they
opt out.
Pissed me off and I've opted out.
Right. But like for me, it just so happens that this set of stores that I'm on the list for, I am interested in. And so therefore I don't get out of the list. I just delete it if I'm not interested that day. But they are right. always on my mind because I'm constantly seeing their emails every day.
So from a drip marketing campaign, it does work.
Yeah, if you're a sucker.
The first one that you think of.
And I'm a sucker. So apparently it works on me.
Well, it sounds like you're more just a shopper.
You know, this is the thing. I have.
And the thing is that women are supposed to shop. That is our role.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, well, I like to break those gender roles. But, you know, okay, in this case, here's what happened with me. For those of you, well, everyone is listening and not looking, so no one can see what I look like. But I lost a lot of weight over the course of the last year. And so I think I replaced my food cravings with shopping.
Yeah, I've heard that does happen.
I think it's happened to me. Especially because now with online shopping, it's so, like, instead of going to the refrigerator, I'm on the computer looking at clothes or whatever.
Right.
And also,
you get a similar kind of euphoric rush
from
eating a candy bar to buying an expensive purse.
Right. Well, and also now that I've lost some weight, like I'm excited to have new clothes for, you know, the new bod. So it's really dangerous though, because a candy bar, as much as the calories go right to your, you know, hips, it costs a candy bar costs a lot less than a new dress. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Yeah. So I got to really watch that.
It's slightly different.
Yeah, it's bad. All right, moving on. So we love lists here at the Good Morning Atlanta show.
Yes.
We love lists. And so do you know what I'm going to talk about?
No.
I've got two lists I want to talk about today. One stupid one and one great one.
Okay.
Which do you want first?
I want the great one.
You want the professional,
yeah.
serious
yes,
business
exactly.
one first? Okay, then we'll do the stupid one. All right. So Georgia, our lovely state of Georgia, is now boasting 15 of the Fortune 500 companies.
Yes, that is.
It's pretty cool.
Exciting. Because that sounds like a lot. It's one of those number changes that sounds like a lot more. Like 15 sounds like a lot more than 14 because you're breaking in.
Because you're into, right. You know, the funny thing is that when I first, it's funny because.
That's like legit. Like at 14, we were like, yeah,
we're almost there.
When
I started thinking about 15 out of 500, at first I was like, that's nothing. But then if you really think about it, you're talking about across the entire, is it country or is it international? No, it's country,
yeah,
I think, right?
Yeah, the U.S.
Yeah, so you're talking about the entire U.S. And so how many cities are there, you know? A lot.
Right.
And so for us to have 15 in one city, you know, obviously I'm sure New York has more. And, you know, there are some other cities that are, we're not the top. A state, rather. I shouldn't say city. We're talking states. So, but the bottom line is, that's a lot.
Yep.
We got some big companies here. So I'm just going to go through the list real quick to see if there's any surprises on there. I think we know some of them are pretty obvious. You could guess, right?
Right.
Coke, UPS, Delta. I think those are the ones automatically everybody knows. So UPS, I'm reading it now. Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, Aflac.
Oh, right.
Right.
I forgot they were recorded here.
Yeah, and I am reading these in order from the top down. So the $53.1 billion is UPS, $46.5 is Coke, and then Delta, then Aflac, Southern Company. Now, here's one I'm not sure I ever heard of. Genuine Parts Company. Did you ever hear of them?
Oh, that's that, like, car parts company.
I mean, you know. $12.5 billion company. So First Data Corp next, SunTrust Banks. Next, Agco Corp. And then Coke is on here again because it's Coca-Cola Company at number two. And then Coca-Cola Enterprise is where
right.
I'm at on the
well,
list
yeah,
now.
Well, yeah, because they're two different companies.
Exactly. And so Coke is everywhere.
And they make the list twice.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Yeah. So
a lot of people drink Coca-Cola.
I do love me some Diet Coke. I'm not going to lie. This show is not sponsored by Coke, but we'd be happy to be. Just FYI. Newell Rubbermaid next on the list. Mohawk Industries. NCR. On the list.
Right. The National Cash Register Company. They've been around
forever. And then what gives us the 15 is Rock 10.
That new acquisition that
Correct.
They did.
Which we've been talking about a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So Rock 10.
It's nice when you can just buy a huge chunk of revenue like that and it ends up putting
right.
Making you us over the top in terms of some list criteria.
Yep. Totally.
Oh, yeah. We just bought that.
Well, you know, you can kind of make lists with
cash
anything you
want. On the books is a good thing.
Cash in general is a good thing, is what I'm saying. So, anyone who wants to stop by the studio and drop off some cash, you feel free to do that. We will take it. But yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Yes.
And I think that shows that, you know, the kind of economic growth we have going on here in the state. You know, we've had a lot of people in the studio for various shows talking about Georgia and economic growth and economic development. And, you know, I think this is evidence that. That's happening and it's all positive, you know, and it's just going to continue to bring more business into the state, more business into this city. You know, I just thought I'd
absolutely good
go through
good
it.
News. Definitely.
Yeah. And none of these companies are ones that you see that are about to have big problems or tank or, you know, it's not anybody that they're all stable companies that have been around for a long, long time doing things that we will continue to need for a long, long time, like Coca-Cola and flights to places and packages delivered and things like that. So,
right. Exactly. It's not a fad.
Exactly. It's not like a, you know, it's something that's just zooming to the top and is going to tank, you know, which we've
like
seen.
Like those crazy Silicon Valley companies.
Right. Or Pet Rock, you know. I don't know why I went there, but there you go. All right. So ready for the stupid list now?
Oh, right. The stupid list. What's that
Let's do the stupid list. You're going to love this. Atlanta, our delightful city of Atlanta, according to Men's Health Magazine, is the seventh smuttiest city in the United States of America.
No.
Yeah, we love our smut here in Atlanta, or at least our men do.
How on earth do they measure such a thing?
Well, they measured it by survey.
Who is volunteering for this?
I'm going to read
smut
this
survey. I mean, like I see these people, you know, American Red Cross volunteers standing on the corner, and they're wanting to ask you questions, and I say no to them. So. What? Who is like, oh, excuse me, come over here. I'd like to ask you a couple questions about smut. Oh, okay. I will take time out of my busy day to go and take that survey.
I wonder. I don't know how they administered the survey, Elizabeth. I don't know if it was people standing on the corner. However, I will tell you this. They say, and this is a quote from the April edition of Men's Health Magazine. It says, quote, we peered through a statistical peephole to tabulate the following criteria. And here's how they did it. the number of DVDs purchased, rented, or streamed, adult entertainment stores per city, rate of porn searches, and for fans of softcore porn, percentage of Cinemax subscribing households. Oh, poor Cinemax. Skinemax. Yes. And so they took all that. Now, one of the things is this is Men's Health Magazine, so the implication is that it's all men. But I have news for you. I bet there's some women on doing some of that stuff, too.
Oh, definitely.
Now,
an equal opportunity.
Smut for everyone. Equal opportunity smuttiness. So guess what city was the number one smuttiest? See if you can guess. You'll never guess.
In fact, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas was actually number two.
All right.
So think about, you know, can I call it the happiest place on earth?
Orlando?
Ding, ding, double
ding.
It's Mickey and Smut down in Orlando.
That's just wrong.
Isn't that wrong?
I mean, I want my Smut in Las Vegas.
Where it
not
should be.
Orlando.
I know. Isn't that a riot?
The Magic Kingdom. Yeah. That's...
Yeah. So Orlando, they're smutting it up down there. Las Vegas, Wilmington, Delaware. I think they're just bored. You know, a lot of people incorporating there, and then they're just looking at smut, I guess, you know?
Right. It's all those fictitious companies.
Right. They're all there fictitiously buying smut. I don't know. And then you have Raleigh, North Carolina, coming in at number four. I'm guessing that's like a lot of young people in the tech industry, maybe a lot of young guys, programmers
true.
Or whatever.
That is that whole research triangle area.
I mean, that's where I'm going with. And then Charlotte also.
The research triangle.
Yeah.
How about that?
A lot of smut over there.
North Carolina.
They're probably the ones doing all the downloading of it. They don't buy DVDs. They just stream it all, right? And then Minneapolis, maybe they're just cold.
Right.
You know, they need something to keep warm.
I don't know. I think that's just a nature defense strategy.
Exactly.
You got to warm the body somehow.
Too funny. So then we come in at seventh, and then Tampa, Florida at eighth, and Anchorage, Alaska coming in ninth. And randomly, Austin, Texas in 10th. So lots of smut going on in this country.
Interesting.
Any thoughts about that? Any comments about people's morality or anything like that? Should we get Tom back in here to talk ethics? The ethics of smut?
Well, I think that really that's a privacy issue. And I'm a privacy advocate. So keep your smut to yourself.
I love it. You know what's interesting? You're right, though. I mean, they didn't have to. I don't believe. I mean, it sounds like they asked people. And people voluntarily said, yes, I do this.
As opposed to peering into your home.
Right. Or, you know,
with
sneakily
binoculars. Right.
Yeah,
or tapping your phone like the government does.
Right. Big brother. Or, you know, buying some online data or something like that. I mean, it seems like they're saying they really did it by survey. So,
yeah, they had close personal contact with the people that they were researching smut behavior.
Could have just been like a SurveyMonkey online or something. I don't know.
Transaction.
That is one of the things, though. It is interesting you bring up privacy because that's a huge issue in our world right now. I was going to say our country, but it's really just a huge issue in the world right now.
Well, I think technology has made it possible to do things that we never would have even contemplated from a privacy standpoint 100 years ago.
Right.
So it has created a lot of new issues and new, both from a legislative standpoint as well as just deciding where you want to draw a line on your rights.
Yeah. I mean, in the old days, if you, just because we're on the topic of smut, I'm going to stick with smut. But if you were, you know, a perfectly normal guy, let's say, and you wanted to, you know, look at some pictures of naked women, for example, you might just pop into your local newsstand or drugstore or whatever and buy yourself a copy of Playboy with cash, you know what I'm saying, and stick it in your briefcase and move on with your life without any fear that anyone is going to know what you purchased, right? But now, I mean, I guess if you were a subscriber, you were opening yourself up, right? But now, if with online,
anytime you do anything online,
right,
if there's a record of it,
if you're ordering something online, if you're downloading something, somebody knows about it. And what if an employer looks at that? Do they hold you, you know, are they allowed to hold you accountable?
Well, that is a new, there's an actual case about that right now. A guy got in a bar fight and
what was the picture on Facebook or something?
Right. And then the next day, his employer was like, well, now you're suspended from work. But I mean, he wasn't at like
a work function.
Right. Completely, you know, that's my personal
right
life, and then it ripples into your business life.
Right.
And where is that line?
Because if he had come in the old days with a black eye, he could have just said, I fell getting out of the shower, and they never would have known any different. And that would have been that.
So from the employee's standpoint, that's
not
their own personal business. But if you're an employer and you're paying somebody, what are you paying them for? What physical labor they do in the office from 9 to 5, or the person that they are all the time?
Right. And frankly,
and making that clear in the employment contract,
yes,
is
imperative.
Right.
Because frankly, if I'm getting paid to represent the company 24/7, I want more money. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
if not, and I want to go dance on the tables in my spare time, I should have every right to do that. You know, as long as I'm not wearing a company logo or, you know, handing out my business card while I'm doing it, what do you care? It's my business.
But it is where social media has created an overlapping effect,
yeah,
where there isn't a clear line.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit scary. Because there's, you know, in a way, there's a lot more freedom, as you mentioned now. I mean, you can sort of do whatever. There's so much opportunity to kind of be whoever you want to be, do whatever you want in this day and age.
Right.
But if it's going to impact you and come back around like it never has before because of all that technology.
Right. So it's the two, you know, big values in Western culture.
Yeah.
The individual and the ability to be an individual, to break out of norm and, you know, be who you really are,
right,
and capitalism.
Yeah. Right. You're right. You're right. You're totally right.
So how do we find a happy medium for those of both to coexist? Because obviously there are two important values in our society.
Right.
But where do you, and is it a legal thing?
Right. Because there again, like if I'm in a bar fight, but I don't get charged with assault and I haven't done anything illegal except get in a bar fight, or maybe that is kind of illegal, so I don't know, but if that's a good example, but you know, I did something, you know, I was out drunk or whatever. I didn't drive drunk. I was just out at a bar drunk and my picture ended up on Facebook and whatever. Is that something
that... Depends on who you work for, I guess.
I guess. But you're right. It needs to be very seriously
nailed
down. So
more and more companies are having to think about these types of issues,
yeah,
and have a whole strategy around and a policy of social media so that you don't leave it to chance.
Right.
Because I think you have to head it off by being proactive in your communication of what is acceptable and what we want versus,
you know, personally,
just hoping for the best.
Hope
is not a strategy.
Hope is not. Hope should be a strategy, but it's not. I would like to see personally a common sense approach from companies. You know,
I would like to personally see more common sense
in general across the board
throughout the U.S.
You know, what I mean by that, I guess, is that, you know, I want to be treated like an adult when I work somewhere or I work for someone. And, you know, obviously everyone can't be, and that's why you have to put things on paper and you have to have rules. But I want the rules to be common sense, not ridiculous. Like, in other words, go out and do whatever you want to do. But like I said, don't wear a company logo if you're going to do something that's a little bit not company policy. Don't, you know, don't be telling everyone, I work for, you know, Atlanta Business Radio X, and then take your top off at the bar. You know what I mean? Or for us, we probably, that would be a good
actually,
thing.
Actually, that might be good publicity for us.
Right.
But yes.
But for most companies, probably not. Okay. So yeah, you know, I work for Coke and I'm going to take my, no, I mean, just don't.
Right.
Just don't combine the two things.
Right.
Separation of work and fun. I think that's needs
church
to be.
And state.
Yeah, I think that needs to be the
get
new.
Get those things out of each
a
other's.
A new amendment, separation of work and fun. I like it. I think it should be a book.
Good one.
Want to write a book, separation of work and fun? Come on. I'm great with the titles.
Although I like fun in my work too.
I do too. So I do too, but I don't necessarily like work in my fun.
Right.
Figure that one out, people. Have you had your coffee yet? and while we're on the topic, this is going to be a really bizarre segue for you. But while we're on the topic of technology, I don't think we are, but we're going to pretend. Have you read about the new Georgia license plate coming out?
I did see something about that.
Now, why would I say anything about technology when I'm talking about a license plate, you ask, if you have not already read the
exactly.
story?
Exactly. You would think that a license plate is a fairly low-tech piece of equipment.
You would think so. And when I think of license plates, whenever I hear anybody talk about making a license plate, I automatically go to prisons.
Right.
And, you know, guys on an assembly line
agree.
Hammering and pounding and pulling things off conveyor
for
belts.
For some reason, that is like subconsciously in all of our
psyches.
Right.
Yeah, for some reason. Well, here's the deal. So the new Georgia license plate, it's going to be coming out Monday. So just
so
less than a week away.
Line up.
Yeah, line up, people. I know you're all going to want it.
You might want to pitch a tent, camp out over the weekend, be the first in line to pick it
to
up
get
on
your
Monday.
License plate. Oh, Lord. Okay, so I wish that I had been all over this ahead of time because I knew nothing about it. But apparently, there was a statewide contest to select the design. Did you vote in this statewide contest?
I missed that election.
Well, but here's the question I have then, because are we not both citizens of the state? How did they publicize this? I heard nothing about it.
It definitely was not on the ballot the last time I was at the poll.
It was on the DL is what I'm saying, because I heard nothing about it. I never saw any billboards or any – I didn't get anything in the mail. I didn't see anything online that said, hey, this is happening. Go vote. Nothing. All right. Well, whatever. 500 designs. Somebody in the state of Georgia knew about it and picked one. And apparently the tag was designed by Linda Sosaby of Forsyth, Georgia. And
good for her.
You can affix your county or county sticker on it or not. You can get a free In God We Trust sticker if you so desire. Separation of church, apparently, and license plate does not exist. sorry, is that wrong? But this is why I say technology, because Georgia's new license plate will incorporate a digital, and if you could see me, I'm doing air quotes right now, a digital flat design, meaning the numbers and letters are not raised like they are now. Right now, they're puffy, you know, they're raised up. And I think that had to do, I guess, that was an old school way of stopping people from changing them, right? Like if you wanted to escape from the cops, you could paint over and you couldn't change the letters or numbers because you could see the indentations of the right ones, right? Well, they don't have to do that anymore because now there's a digital technology that will, you know, like bills have where you can't counterfeit it. Like you won't be able to just change it. And so
you can't just slap some paint on it.
Correct.
Throw a couple new numbers on there.
Right. And the process.
Like whiskey down from North Georgia. You just can't do that anymore, people.
It's over. The time for that is done. But it's interesting because I would have thought something like that would have existed a long time ago. I guess it just wasn't a priority, perhaps. But it's actually going to save the state money. And it'll allow you to get your license plate mailed to you instead of having to go pick it up.
Oh, well, that is definitely the best benefit of all.
If you can stay out of the
void
of the lines and the Department of Motor Vehicles lines and whatever, more power to you. So this is a good thing.
Excellent. Way to go, Georgia.
I know.
Always thinking.
I know.
Always thinking one step ahead.
I know. And when you see the new plates next Tuesday, because you can pick them up starting Monday, you'll know because you heard it here first on Good Morning Atlanta. So we're getting close to being out of time, but I want to just check in with you. Anything you want to talk about that's happened over the last week in terms of shows we've had here? Anything we've got coming up in terms of shows? I know we've got a show coming up at 10 this morning.
Yes, we do have our Southern Hospitality show at 10 o'clock today. We launched that show last week the Hyatt Place. Marty Morris was here from the Hyatt Place. And Max Loggers, Alan LeBlanc, was here representing Max Loggers and talking about the new restaurant that they're launching right across the street, White Oak. So they're going to come back when that opens because it's much awaited and good Southern hospitality. We talked a lot about.
Did we get any free food? Did I miss free food?
Yes, you missed. Marty brought the most delectable baked goods from the Hyatt Place bakery. These
are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious.
Oh my
these
God.
Little mini chocolate bundt cakes with chocolate icing and then a black and white brownie.
How many mornings have I been in here begging for sweets?
I know.
One day I'm not here.
It was unbelievable. She shows up with all this.
Damn it.
and Alan was very generous as well. We've got to hit Max Loggers and try out all their beer that they've got on tap right now.
Nice.
and some good food as well. So he brought me a souvenir pint glass too. So it was a great show. Definitely check it out on the replay. I know a lot of people have already started listening to it since it got posted. And today we've got David Van Tassel with the Holiday Inn here downtown, Centennial Park Holiday Inn.
Very cool. Yeah,
yes.
We postponed the start of the show a little bit, but we're glad to have it up and running now. Very exciting. And
we've got some great other guests coming on soon. The Best Western is going to join us on May 23rd, so make sure you check in for that one. And
Yeah, we're sort of been talking about all of that as it relates to sort of the Atlanta, you know, trade show business, tourism, all the kind of things that have to do with eating and drinking and having a good time here in the city of Atlanta.
Exactly.
Yeah. So also today, of course, we have the 200 Peachtree Show coming up at 2 o'clock. And then at 3:30, we have Showbiz Atlanta. And today, my guest on that show is from Affix Music. Simon Horrocks is his name. And he is going to be talking about licensing music to the film and television industry. It's pretty interesting. So,
nice. Yeah. And then tomorrow we'll have a Good People special episode of 101 Best and Brightest.
That's great.
Another one of those. Yeah.
Excellent. So things are hopping.
Busy lineup. And we're planning our new show with Dr. Marilyn Carroll to launch in the next couple of weeks. So we've got a production meeting coming up on that one. And that'll be broadcasting soon out of our studio downtown as well.
Yeah, lots of interesting stuff going on. So, you know, if you are enjoying the format of Business Radio X and, you know, there's a topic that you would like to hear about, certainly on the morning show or just a show in general, feel free to, you know, shoot me an email, dana@businessradiox.com or elizabeth@businessradiox.com. We would love to hear from you. And show ideas, any guest ideas, anybody you think
or just general fan mail.
Right.
I just wrote back one of my fans. It's always fun to get fan mail.
I don't get any of that. Excuse me. I guess you're the special one. So anyway, that's our show basically for today. A lot of really good stuff coming up. And of course, as always, we wish you a very wonderful and successful week in business.
And yes. Go forth and prosper, Atlanta. And we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.